My name is rather a long one. It's Dudley Rupert Charles College. And I was born Cromwell Road in Ely. Left there when I was 5 or 6, and we went down then to the vineyards, which is adjacent to the fields in those days. We never knew houses.
Yeah.
We were either the second or the third down there. It was quite, I don't know about elite. They were ordinary working people really down there, you know. We didn't have doctors and that sort of thing. I mean, Dad was a watchmaker. And there were several brothers, gardeners and this sort of thing down there. But, you know, it was an ordinary, common kind of day working class people.
Oh, right. What's your association then with this area?
The association with the area, well, I was bailiff, water bailiff for about, I think it was about 2.5 years till my health packed up and I had to leave that home. Otherwise, I like the area very much. Of course, I'm a country person.
Right, right.
And I prefer that. I get the towns absolutely drive me up the wall. It's too enclosed. I suppose I used to come down here when I was perhaps first started, about 9.
Oh, right.
And Mum was not at all worried. I had one law I mustn't do, and that was I must not go over the railway crossing.
As long as I stayed
this side of the crossing,
I
could go where I wanted, because I could swim in those days as well, so she wasn't worried too much about the pits. The pits were totally different. That pit there, the one, the sailing club pit, not the big one, but the one you come through to before you go into the clay pit, that was nowhere near that size. That was just a field, as far as I can remember. And that's where the gun range was, or what we call a gun range. They didn't use it for very long, the ARP. In those days, when they used to dig clay, they dug it by hand and spade. And they used to make squares. They'd dredge this piece out and leave the path, and then they'd dredge another piece out and leave the path. And there was a masses of little paths still left there when I was young. And that's where Home Guard.
Home Guard.
Home Guard used to go, crisscross the pass, and they used to lay down on the pass and fire into the bank, as far as I know. Now, I haven't got proof of this, but this is what they have been told and what I have seen as red flags being hoisted up to the gate where you come through here, and several men standing at different points to make sure nobody else got in the way. But, I mean, it's perfectly safe because they're firing into clay. This was during, that'd be about 42, something like that.
Yeah.
Somewhere around that region, don't quote me in the pit.
Can you remember anything of the tank trap?
You know Furnaces Farm, it started with a machine gun post. There's two little houses that run down from the bank. And there was a machine gun post, which is a big piece of concrete.
Yeah.
That's where the tank trap started, about 50 yards down towards Furnaces, rather. And then this went all the way along till I think they ended up around about the old orchard, because there was water then down there, so tanks could not come in from the east without going into the tank trap. And I believe that's there was a gate there when I was a boy. It's all caved in now, half of it.
Yeah.
There was still the footings were there when I was younger. My sister used to go out there, there's masses of violets. Lovely area, masses of violets, and as I say, there's a big,
walnut.
I got caught scrumping it. Well, it was just a friend and I were there walking past, just going for a walk, you know, and we saw the tree, and of course, we got bits of timber and logged up, and the next thing I know, somebody shouted, hit by a piece of timber that I slung up, which rather fast disappeared down the road. Well, you can cut down from the vineyards down to Sainsbury's, going through was all orchards. All those houses there was orchards. The other side of the orchard, there wasn't a road. It was a cinder track that led to Bull Lane. To the left of that was allotments, and the other side of that was a field, which was a brewery field where they used to keep their cart horses. Of course, they used to use them still during the war.
Because there was a brewery, wasn't there?
That's right. Beer, that was a lovely beer.
Was it?
Yeah, Ely Ales. Yeah, beautiful beer. So it was hard water around here, and that's what makes it good bitter. It was good. So even the Sheffields used to come down fishing. I mean, they used to come down in the train loads in those days. They'd probably put two trains on to bring the Sheffields down, They'd already booked their bed and breakfasts all over, really. Anybody who had a spare bed had a Chevy room for bed and breakfast, you know. And they were very ones for the beer. And they all had perhaps three or four pints, bottle pints, in their keep nets, sunk deep in the water to keep it cold. You know? No fish, but plenty of beer in the nets. And they were a very jolly lot. And I think they're probably about 100 or more used to come down.
Really?
Yeah. They'd be fishing, the creasels. They fish the creasels, if they were. Creasels on the one that's under the beach and goes around the left.
And did you fish?
Yeah, I used to fish quite a bit one time, bogging especially. But pulling the tackle about now has got a bit too much, walking too far. Both sides of my house, there was longs here. There was no houses to our left, apart from one at the top. That was all orchard. And the orchard on the bottom of our house, that was Parker's, and that went all the way up to the brewery. So, we used to go over there and say, take as many apples you like that have fallen, you know. I mean, it was open property from our house to the orchard on both sides. So it was a lovely area to live, actually, in those days. And years and years ago, I believe there was a lot of asparagus there, asparagus beds. But that was before then. They had asparagus beds then.
Can you remember anything else of the activities during the war in terms of the military or the Home Guard or anything?
My dad was an ARP. He was in 1914-18, and that's a stretcher bearer. He served his time in France quite a lot. Then he was ARP during the war, and he used to have to go out. The dark part was it was so quiet nearly. I think we had about two bombs and several landmines. But they were all jettisoned by aircraft that wanted to get rid of their load rather than go on to London. And we used to get one or two buzz bombs come over the top. Not many, but you see one or two of them pop over, heading in that direction. Yeah. None of them stopped, thank God. I'm not sure whether this is true, but I think it was. There was a guard killed at the Ely IAF hospital through a bomb. And that was jettisoned by some aircraft that wanted to get rid of it, you know. But it wasn't aimed at the hospital. And that's what they used to do, I think, just jettison them when they could. We had several crashes, aircraft crashes. There's one down by the Ely High Bridge there. We used to play in it as kids. The wings were gone, engines and they were gone. It was just a fuselage left. Was it either a Lank or Wellington? I'm not sure. Yeah, you say it was a bomber. Yeah. I can't remember because it was well pulled about by the time we had a load down there. And the Perspex cockpits, they used to disappear very quickly because they used to make charms of rings, because that's the stuff itself, the Perspex itself, was 3/4 of an inch thick. You could make quite nice little polished rings out of them, you know. Everybody trying to pinch this Perspex. Oh, yes. Well, I mean, life was slightly different. It was much more quiet, and I think I was lucky. I'd rather be born then than today. There's too many toys today. You're a child, you want to have an adult. Parents seem to want their children to grow up very quickly these days. The High Barns, or as New Barns was it called, the High Barns I don't think was there then. New Barns, there was a school with me, there was Miles Fitt, two boy pitchers. Then from this end, it would be Lavender down the waterside. And we all used to meet down the forefront and swim in there. Dad taught me to swim in the Ely swimming pool. That was the open air one down, what's the name of the road?
The Angel Drove,
Angel
is that
Drove.
It? Yeah.
Open air swimming pool, that was lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
Small, not tall, but it was very nice. Yeah. Very safe. The reason why most of us used to go down the forefront to swim, in those days, children used to have Saturdays in the pool, adults could go as well. In the Sundays afternoons, that was adults only. So the children couldn't get in, so they used to disappear to the open river. When the tugs used to go under that bridge, they used to open up their engines, you could hear them go, boom. It's a hard bottom, it's a concrete bottom under that pool, so they tell me. And they used to bottom, because the amount of water they took out, because they have probably 8 of these barges on the back. Have you ever seen them work?
No.
Fantastic. The barge man himself, not the bargee, the man was on the back. Each one of these barges had two staunchions like that, and that was roped to two more of the next barge, and that was roped to two more of the next barge. So you probably had eight barges all roped together by two short ropes. Now, when they wanted to go, they could control them much better that way. When they wanted to go around a corner, left or right, they had to loosen the slot and run down the other side, loosen that slot. As soon as they straightened up, they were back, tightened the lot up again. And I swear that was no wider than that, these ledges that they ran down. Galt was in the middle, and these ledges were running down all the way around the boat, you know, and they used to run down, loosen these ropes, and then...
Yeah, so about a foot wide.
Yeah, less than that. They were much more than 10 inches, yeah. They were very nimble, that's who weren't they, ended up a very wet time. We used to get talking to some of the crane drivers, and they shouldn't do it, of course, but then those they used to. If you want to come on and stand up here, boy, you know, come on. And they pick you up, plonk you on the side of the crane to the drag line itself, and you stand there, and this darn thing was swinging around, and you start getting seasick towards you. But they were a wonderful lot.
Yeah.
And of course, I remember the clay pit as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. They clap the hole, because it's a darn great tube, you know.
Yeah.
You've seen that, have you?
Yes,
the hole that they put.
Between the two pits, you mean?
That's it. It's just to get the barges through to collect the clay. Yeah. Otherwise, they'd have to take it all by lorry, and that was a lot. But, I mean, they used to ship an awful lot of clay, because you can imagine the size of those pits. You did ever anybody tell you there was another pit, which was filled in? You know the yachting club itself? Come towards Turvey State Railway Crossing. There's a field to the left. Well, that wasn't a field. That was what we call the Blue Lagoon. That was blue clay, and you got the light on it, and it was like Hawaii.
Really?
The sea was, air was sea. The water was absolutely iridescent blue. It was a beautiful blue, and it was clear, because it was only all rainwater and water that didn't come from anywhere. You know, it was just confined to that one area. It didn't mix with the river water or anything. And it was very, very, very clear. Quite a lot of weed in there, but we swam in there. Yeah, but the reason I think it was considered a hazard, I think it was a King's School lady, I don't know, drowned in there. Yeah, so well known as a Blue Lagoon.
Did you ever have to come down the pits in your professional capacity?
Well, I had an even worse one than that. Was a friend and I were walking up the road from the railway crossing, and on the barbed wire there's a wood fence and barbed wire on top of that, and on the barbed wire was a jacket and a waistcoat hanging up neatly. So we walked over to see what was going on. I think there was somebody down the other side, and the man had drowned himself. And my mate took off for the police station, and I went round with another chap, and we got a punt. And we managed to get him up onto the boat and then tie the rope and pull him up there. Because it's fairly about 9 or 10 feet to the water there. Pulled him up. And I did artificial respiration, but it was no use. But I had to go to the inquiry. Because I'd pumped all the waters out of his lungs. And they didn't really know whether he drowned or not.
You don't very often see people swimming in it now, do you?
No. I think they kind of put you off of what kind of bugs there is in it these days. They do swim in the pits at odd times. There was a gang of foreigners, and they were in there swimming.
So when did they start fishing on these pits then? Because you were...
Well, that's been fished all my time. That was when, of course, the beef factory was there. They actually ran the fishing club in those days. That's why it's called Sugar Beef Factory.
And so ever since this pit was built, really, it's been fished, has it?
Yeah. As I say, I don't know how far back, you know, I suppose it's when it first started. Well, I don't suppose until they made an outlet to the river, there was too much in the way of fish in there, because they've got to come in from somewhere, haven't they? At the moment, and then it would be a closed pit. And now, of course, it's open to the river, isn't it? Yeah. Through the forefoot and straight out to the river.
And I guess once they finish working on the pit, I guess that's when it started to.
They were definitely fishing it when they were working the pit. Oh yes, with the crane 47, we had the bad floods, didn't we?
Yeah.
And the German prisoners and some of the Italian prisoners were still here then. They hadn't been repatriated. Well, some of them they couldn't go back because Russia held northern Germany. Yeah, a lot of them couldn't go back because they had no homes. They didn't know where their wives or anything were, you know. Okay. And they stayed on, and they were in a camp on the way to Sutton there. And also there was another one at the top of Cambridge Road, the golf course. Yeah. Another one, West Fenn, out towards West Fenn.
Yeah. Well, do you know when the tank trap was filled in?
I haven't got a clue who actually filled it in. I suppose it was redundant, it was no good any longer, you know. The D-Day war was always what was supposed to be going to come, never materialised. And I think it was there some time after the war. Yeah, we used to muck about in it. Yeah, we used to look for these ammonites,
like the little bullets. Spiral, yeah.
And I don't know, was it ammonites or there was something else? They were just like little bullet heads, funny material. I think they were spines off something or something like that. Yes, there's lots of bits and pieces found in there. Yeah, I heard a lovely fossil eel, a big one. Just like a snail. We always used to go over there looking for them. We used to go over and then after they finished digging. And there's quite a number of eels too, and that sort of thing used to come out in those days, you know, in the buckets. If you were lucky, you managed to grab a nice little eel. I like fried eel, yeah.
So going back to this tank trap then, like, what did it look like?
Just a big cut. Really? Like a drain. As steep as they could get it, because the tank went in. And then it was stuck because the sides were so steep it couldn't claw its way up the other side, you see. And it's stuck head first in. I don't know what degree it would be, but it was very steep. And also they were filled up with water, of course. I guess probably about 15 to 20 feet deep. Or not water, but depth from the top to the bottom. Yeah, I just imagine a tank would be covered. You know, it would might just about be sticking out the end, but he would never reverse his way out of it or never climb up the other side because it was just too steep. And about the cottage somewhere there.
And because beyond that there was water and they could...
Yeah, well, the water was not necessary because in those days there's not so many trees, and on the common, you looked across, it was you could look for miles. There was another little outpost. And I think that's what they use for spotting. I was talking about where the machine gun post is, and just on that corner, they dug a trench. And I think it was just for a spotter to keep, you know, when the raids were on and that sort of thing, spotting any tanks coming in that direction and that sort of thing. That's what our guesses were, anyway. We used to play it when we could. But there was barbed wire in a lot of places. Yeah. You know, the bridge, the walkover bridge at Adelaide, that was absolutely covered in barbed wire. That was absolutely wired up to right up, yeah. It didn't stop us getting across, did we? We went on the outside and walked along the edge. That was the sort of thing you used to do in those days. We had the most wonderful sight, sister and I, down the bottom, just the top of the bits, it was all covered in stinging nettles and grass. I'm not going back that long ago, I'm talking... perhaps 15, 20 years, something like that. We're walking through this grass, and next thing we know, that was the butterflies were just coming up. And you never seen such a mass of butterflies in your life. As we walked through the grass, these butterflies came up. It was a wonderful sight. Red admirals and that sort of thing, there were peacocks, there were all sorts. Some were feeding on different, like it was nettles and what's named grass and bits and pieces like that over there. And they were feeding on there, the caterpillars were. And they were just coming out of their chrysalis and then. It was wonderful. I know, in fact, you know, you were getting a bit itchy. They were coming up all the way around you. There's hundreds of them. I never seen a sight like it before. We were taking the dogs for a walk, of course, the dogs were walking through them, just put all these butterflies in. Coming through from Furnaces, which was Furnaces in those days, we come through from there and just walked through the top of the pits, and it was covered in stinging nettles and what have you. Yeah. But that's what they were feeding on. That was a lovely sight. I'll never see it again, no doubt, because it was just a one in a million.
And the Cresswells at the bottom.
I don't know whether it was Cress, or we always used to say it was Cress, because we used to get stacks of watercress down there. Several dikes there were much cleaner than what they are today. Because they used to get flooded and get fresh water in every now and again, plenty of rainwater. And there was lovely cress Watercress. Yeah. Yes, tons of it. Yeah. Just take it out and wash it every Sunday too. Okay. Creasels runs from the railway bridge up to the used catchment. Well, it used to be called the used catchment yard, but there's a boat place there. And that runs, that's the Creasels. Left of that, you had willows. Basket willows. I can't think of the names of the damn things now. That's, I think, the reason that that Willow Walk was, I think it was something to do with that. Anyway, that area of, 200 yards, I suppose, was these small willows, which they used to cut every year to make baskets. Two or three basket makers down the waterside. Yeah, can't think of the names now, but there was Rag and Bone Man was one of them, taking rag and bones, rabbit pelts, all sorts down the war, and metal, scrap iron sort of business. He used to have two men there making baskets. He used to sit there with like an old wooden seat low down, and with the leg, between the legs, and they'd be making these baskets, you know. And their hands were absolutely gnarled, you know, with these willows. And the ladies used to take the bark off. Have you ever seen the things they used to do? They were like knives. They used to boil the willows for a start and make them supple. And then they used to put them in bundles. Then they have this iron thing that looked like knives. And then they used to thrash the knives and drag them, and that used to take the bark off. And then they put them back in the boiler and boil them up, and then that would make them supple. And then they used to use them and like that. Making either fish, eel grigs or fishing baskets. Or mostly it was potato cobs. They used to collect the potatoes in big handle, big basket like that. Girls on the land used to pick the potatoes up, fill the baskets, put them in a line, and then the cob catcher and cob, he used to walk along with a horse and cart, and he'd catch them, sling them up to cob catcher, and he'd empty them in the cob catcher. Yeah, they're cobs, they're called cobs, baskets are called cobs.
And who caught them?
The cob catcher.
The cob catcher. So he was sitting in the cart.
One was on the side holding a steel piece of steel that came down for the AF room, because he walks for several miles in that time. And as he came up, he grabbed the cob, and at the same instant, he'd swing it like that, and the cob catcher go, bump, shoot, straight at the side. Next one. And then they go right down the field like that, yeah.
Fantastic.
I know that one, because I used to sign the cob catching in my time. Yeah, it's all changed.